You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. Who Are You Who Walk in Sorrow takes us into the story of these two disciples on Easter evening. They don't know it's Easter. We do, but they don't know it's Easter. They are leaving Jerusalem toward evening. They are headed toward Emmaus. We don't know much about them, but they are met by one whom they ought to recognize, but don't. But in time, they will, the risen Christ. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Emmaus disciples seeing Jesus in Luke chapter 24. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
You talk about this incident an awful lot. This seems to be one of your favorite places to go in Holy Scripture. Why is that, Tom?
Today I actually preached at the Synod, and the point I was trying to make is when you run into somebody who does not believe that they are a sinner, you can talk about their sins of commission, their sins of omission, and finally their secret sins. All of us sin. Now, knowing that you sin is simply not sufficient for saving faith, because what needs to happen then is that people need to hear the gospel. And what I love about the Emmaus disciples, I consider this to be the greatest Bible study in the Bible. In fact, this month's Lutheran Witness has a pastor speaking of this as the greatest Bible study in the Bible, because these were disciples who knew that Jesus had been crucified, who heard from the women that he had risen from the dead, and yet when Jesus ran into them, they are very sad. Now, why would you be sad if Jesus has risen from the dead? It's because Jesus himself says, and that's in verse 28, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe. Now, believe what? Believe the women? No. They were simply witnesses to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And so I make the point, we can find a number of religions that do believe that Jesus died on the cross. Some even suggest he rose from the dead. But they are not Christian religions, because that is what we call historic faith. The Pharisees had wonderful historic faith. They believed in six-day, 24-hour creation. They believed that Abraham was a true person and Moses and David. They had no doubts that the Bible was inerrant. But when Jesus appeared, they did not recognize him. Because saving faith is different than historic faith in this way. Saving faith doesn't just believe the historical accounts of the Bible, but believes the promises and the reason for the historical accounts in the Bible. So what did Jesus do? He took these two disciples who were very sad. He considered them to be foolish. And he began a Bible study starting with Genesis, going through Malachi, I'm sure. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we don't know everything that Jesus said, but some of the professors at the seminary keep finding Jesus in all kinds of passages. For example, you've had some great interviews. The book of Leviticus, for example, the one who wrote that commentary on it, he's got verse after verse where Jesus is found, and you just don't see it when you just, say, read the English. The point I'm making here, therefore, is Jesus gave the reason he had to be crucified. In fact, he even says that in verse 26. Was it not necessary? And that word necessary in the Greek is dei, D-E-I, and is used when Jesus says, it is necessary that I go to Jerusalem to be crucified. After which he had to say to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because he did not agree with that. But listen, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Now, how did Jesus do that? He probably had Genesis 3:15, where God is talking to Satan the serpent and says, from the seed of Eve will come the Savior. You may wound his ankle, but he will crush your head. Psalm 22, David writes that he is going to be pierced in hands and feet. Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. And then one of the most important passages in Isaiah, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the disciples even later said that as Jesus is going through all these Old Testament passages, their heart began to leap within them. And why was that? Because up to this point, they had bare history. But now they began to understand why it was necessary for Jesus to be crucified. And therefore, they took great joy in that, and that became the message. In fact, our confessions make very clear we are saved not by saying the Bible is true, but by believing the gospel promises connected to the historical events of the Bible. So the historical events are absolutely true, but what saves is faith, which is trust in the promises that when he died, he really said, Father, forgive them. When he rose from the dead, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, you are no longer in your sins. So the benefits of Christ's birth, death, suffering, resurrection, and ascension, those benefits are called the gospel, and that is what the Holy Spirit uses to bring people to faith. In fact, even the Sunday school lesson from CPH put it this way, only by faith created by the Holy Spirit in the gospel of Jesus Christ do we recognize the truth of what God has to say.
Why then weren't these disciples so familiar with Jesus, why weren't they able to recognize him in this particular incident?
We do know that the one gentleman's name is Cleopas, and we believe that he's mentioned, and early Christian tradition teaches that he is the brother of Joseph, who was the father of Jesus, and therefore he was the uncle of Jesus. Now, the other disciple is not named in the Bible. However, Eusebius, he believes that this other disciple's name, who is Simeon, actually was the son of Cleopas, and he became the head or the pastor of the Jerusalem church after the death of James, who was martyred. So Cleopas is named, Simeon isn't, but that's the tradition. Now, you would say, well, we know that there were at least 70 disciples that walked around with Jesus because he sent them out two by two. When he talked about himself being the bread of life, a number of them left him. But how can we understand that Cleopas and Simeon would have figured out who Jesus was when the remaining 11 disciples, only one of them even attended the crucifixion, that was John, and the other one were cowering in the upper room for fear of the Jews. So they themselves, when Jesus was crucified, nobody appeared to remember the psalm that they had said many times in the synagogue, my God, why have you forsaken me? And one would have thought that somebody would have heard that and said, well, no, that's Psalm 22. And of course, that's the Messiah. And look at everything that's happening. He's pierced in hands and feet. He also has his clothes distributed by the soldiers and his tunic. They gamble for it. How could they have missed this? Well, I believe they missed it because Satan's very powerful. And until you have faith in who the Messiah truly is, you're going to misunderstand this. In fact, they themselves, in talking to Jesus, in verse 21 says, but we had hoped that he was the one to, now, they don't say redeem us, they say redeem Israel. And that was a common misconception of the Messiah at the time of Jesus, that Jesus was coming to get rid of the Romans, restore Jerusalem to its former state of grandeur, and it was just kind of missed, except by a very few like Simeon and Anna and others who recognize he hadn't come to redeem Israel, he had come to redeem all human beings.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching our weekly Sunday school lesson with him on the Emmaus disciples seeing Jesus in Luke chapter 24. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that Bible study, so to speak, that Jesus had with these disciples on that road.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Emmaus disciples seeing Jesus in Luke chapter 24. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We do this to help our Sunday school teacher listeners get ready for their Sunday school classes filled with young minds. Luther had a soft spot in his heart for the young minds in the Christian household as well. That's why he wrote among his greatest works is this brief thing called Luther's Small Catechism. And because he was communicating with the young and he knew that, well, parents at the time needed help teaching this, he included in some editions of his catechism originally illustrations. That tradition is being kept with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August called Luther Small Catechism, 2017 Visual Edition. It has those kinds of illustrations, those kinds of ways of breaking up the material so that it's not only easy to teach, it's also easy to learn as well. Find out more about the issues, etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther Small Catechism Visual Edition at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and order the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August. Tom, let's talk a little bit more about the Bible study, so to speak, that you mentioned Jesus conducts with these two disciples as they travel from Jerusalem to Emmaus. How important is it that we note that Jesus isn't here saying, well, let me tell you about the Gospel of John or Matthew or Mark, but he is drawing this from the what we would call today the Old Testament entirely. Everything that they needed to know about Jesus and what he would do could be found there already.
That's an excellent point, for the simple reason that at the time of the Emmaus experience, there were no New Testament books written yet. In fact, I was listening to KFUO today where they were having a discussion whether the first book of the Bible in the New Testament was 1 Corinthians or Galatians. Scholars are still divided on that. In other words, when our people look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, etc., that is not the chronological order in which these books were written. And you can tell sometimes from the writings when one book is actually pointing to a different one that it had to, of course, come after the one it was pointing to. So the point here is there were no New Testament books, but the New Testament came about because Luke says it pretty well, you know, and this is the Gospel of Luke, of course, when he's writing to his friend, telling him all about Jesus. And of course, Luke, we believe, also wrote Acts. But here's what he says. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. And here's the reason, that you may have the certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And what had he been taught? That, believe it or not, your sins are forgiven. You're wearing the robe of righteousness. How did this all come about? It came about because of certain historical events that Jesus experienced that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. In fact, it's not at all unusual to read the book of Matthew, who's writing, we believe, to Jews, and he keeps quoting the Old Testament again and again as a fulfillment of the prophecies. So we read the Old Testament, but it is best understood as it is taught by the New Testament. These verses, when you read pierced in hands and feet in Psalm 22, nobody knew, even David, what he was talking about, because the crucifixion hadn't even been invented at that time. And so the New Testament becomes a fulfillment of Old Testament passages, and that's why we as Lutherans consider both the Old Testament and the New Testament to be the Word of God to help us understand so that our hearts may leap within us also as we hear the precious gospel.
Two quick final questions for you, Tom. Why does he disappear after they've finally recognized him?
Yes, I'm a trained pastor, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be answering all of the questions. It says their eyes were opened when he broke the bread. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. I believe that he wanted them to return and talk to the other apostles, because they do go back and say, the Lord has risen indeed. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You see, people come to faith not by seeing Jesus visibly. They were coming to faith just listening to Jesus without realizing who he was. And that's our task in divine worship, to speak about Jesus. And even though you don't see him, the closest you get to seeing him is receiving his very body and blood in the breaking of bread. That was sufficient for the two Emmaus disciples. It's sufficient for us.
Finally, with 30 seconds, the long gospel of Jesus' appearance to these Emmaus disciples.
The law is that just say knowing Luther's catechism, and I know you're going to be doing a great study on that book, being the book of the month here, knowing the facts is not sufficient, but understanding the meaning. So somebody who can say, I got the catechism memorized, I'm going to heaven. No, no, that's law, and nobody gets to heaven by doing anything. But when you say, I now understand why Jesus died on the cross, why he rose from the dead, why he ascended into heaven, it's all for me. And therefore, every time they go to the Lord's Supper and they hear, do this in remembrance of me, I like the better translation, I think, do this in my remembrance of you. It's all about Jesus for you.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can learn more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
On the other side of the break, we will discuss a military history of Islam and the West. Raymond Ibrahim will be our guest fellow at the Middle East Forum. Stay tuned.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Some Bible passages make us more uncomfortable than others. Take, for example, any passage about money. But just because a topic makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean we shouldn't face it head on. That's exactly what the August issue of the Lutheran Witness has done, with articles on poverty, generosity, money management, and more. You won't want to miss it. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.